Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit on
faith and seek to get to know you better, quench our thirst. Be with us now. Bless us and keep us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold out of reading
the Bible. What kind of thing is it? I leave my Bible. What kind of thing is it?
Oh, right
there.
Yeah. The words you like? The words you should have put in your heart.
I have it in my heart.
You need his notebook.
I need my notebook. Do y'all like on this? All right. Welcome, everybody, to One Foot Fifty. My name is Jared. I'm a host for the season. I'm here tonight with Shumi, Sharita, and Obi. The ladies are back. They were on vacation. We missed them. We finished the movie last time. They weren't here because they weren't here. hopefully tonight. Hopefully we'll see what happens tonight. We'll see what happens.
What do you say? Like, last time door at like 9:15. It's like, let's pray. We got it in.
We got straight to the point. We got it in. We got it out. We were good to go. Kenneth anniversary this weekend. So we're wishing them a happy anniversary. And his wife, all the song. You know, wishing them all the best as they celebrate. That's what Kenrick is tonight. Just us tonight. And we've been off for a while. And Anderson's supposed to be here with us, but he got called off on assignment, so he can't be with us either. He's read a lot. Somebody reached out to me and said,
you can't
a lot of
reading.
The chapters in Matthew were long. There was two chapters in Isaiah. Most of those were long. Proverbs was equally long, and then we're back in Psalms again, and that gave us a little bit of respite because those chapters were a little bit shorter. But that's where we've been mostly since the last time we've met. Did I miss anything? We are interchanging between Chronicles and Kings. So we're in the time of the Kings where Isaiah came in. I think he spans is about four kings. So you know that's kind of where we are in the story. So our conversations are being brought out of those books, but that's what you're streaming out of. That being said, Shumi, you look like you're ready. You look like you're
ready.
You look like you know. There was a lot happening. Before we take Shumi, what is the Thursday supposed to be interactive? So in addition to us having dialogue, we invite you to join in the dialogue. So there's a chat room. If you're watching live at waterfieldthursday.com, log into the chat. And please, you can jump in at any time with any thoughts you may have, any questions you may have. You can just join the conversation. And if you're watching to one of the other sites, you move to live.waterfieldthursday.com and log in and join the conversation. If you like the talk and you don't like the type, there's a phone number that you can call. The number should be coming up shortly. It's 914-205-5907. 914-205-5907. Screen should be doing it right about now. But you can call in that number at any point also when you're having a conversation about it. With that being said,
Shonice does not have a lot of deep points.
That's all right. Whatever you
I kept it simple this time. I did not. This is a lot of reading. So I skipped some of the reading. And I actually, because of where I am in my life, I needed some encouragement. And so I thoroughly enjoy parts of Proverbs. And, you know, Proverbs is awesome because sometimes it tells you, you know, be encouraged. You know, do this, and then cool. You didn't do this. And, you know, both times, you know, I can see myself. You know, I can see myself very clear in Proverbs. And, you know, I didn't want to go like my go to the Proverbs and go to the because, you know, we go there so much. We go there so much. But I do want to point out that one of the things that encouraged me as I was ending up that chapter is that in that, more or less, you read all these things that she does. Mm-hmm. All these things. And for those of you who know, our to-do lists are crazy. I'm
talking about like mothers to do this,
mothers, wives, whoever has to do this.
Okay.
I can't speak for guys too much because my husband's to do list
female
is very different than my to do list. And so But what I realized that no one says this, she had help. Very virtuous woman. When she got up early in the morning, she told people, she directed people on how, you know, what to do to help her. And it just helped me see that as this chapter, as this book culminated, that we're not by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we suffer alone. We have everything to do. And we don't pick up the phone and trigger. You know, I can't today. I can't. You know, can you go pick up this for me? Can you, you know, on your way here, can you do this, can you do that? And that's what helps make us virtual, because we're interdependent. And a lot of us don't want to admit that that's the way God wanted us to be. He wants relationships. And when we sever our relationship with Him, then we see, you know, the difference. And when we have no relationship with people and we shut ourselves in the box, we see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I went back to, you know, Chronicles and their relationship with God, with the whole king thing, when they had a great relationship with God, He blessed them. And then it gave itemization of, you know, how He blessed them and how their mind, they didn't say how stressed they were. It just seemed like they thought it, they worked it through, and God blessed them. And as long as they were with the Lord, it flowed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were hardships. There were deaths. There were things going on. But it flowed as long as the relationship with God was strong. And when the relationship with God was failed, the immense destruction that took place was mind-blowing.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up.
That's what's up. I have to agree with everything you just said. And, you know, when I think about why it is that when we're in God's will and we have a relationship with Him, things go well, why He blesses us, I process that over time. And it's just the principle of being in His will. The blessing doesn't come. He doesn't say, well, because Shonice did X, Y, and Z, I'm a blesser. The blessing comes from doing X, Y, and Z. So when I don't do X, Y, and Z, I actually deprive myself of that blessing.
Wow.
That would have occurred had I done X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
And connected to X, Y, and Z is the clarity of what X, Y, and Z is, and you get that clarity from God.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have a relationship with God, which is, you know, a lot of us try to skip that part.
Yeah.
Because we don't want God to tell us. We
and that just shows you how when Proverbs talk about our foolishness.
Yeah.
When you don't recognize the person that actually knows more than you and knows what's best for you, and you ignore that wisdom, that's just downright foolish. And we suffer the consequences of our own foolishness.
Good words, guys. Good words. I feel warm and fuzzy inside.
This relationship thing. You know this. My makeup, I'm an introvert by nature. People don't. People.
Did you hear what she said? No, she said introverts unite separately.
Yes. But it's not that we don't need people, though. We just don't need a lot of people all the time. Just a few people sometimes. But we need people, which gets back to that relationship thing. I was in a class some time ago, and we was talking about, you know, we have this pursuit of something as human beings. We're always in pursuit of something, you know, either a mate, success, money, something, always trying to fill a need. But what we all ultimately trying to do is find that innate need to connect with God that drives us
but we're always looking for something else to fill it. And once we get it over a period of time, it doesn't fill us anymore. And so we have the next pursuit. But it's ultimately just that need to connect with God. Mm-hmm. And when we get into relationship with Him, we actually do find that pearl of great price. And nothing else, that, well, as the Bible said, the things of this world now go strange to them, because there's nothing more satisfying than being in that relationship with God and being in harmony with His will in the sphere that you're in, because there's growth to take place. But knowing that at this point in time, I'm exactly where God would want me to be.
As you say that, comes to mind Jesus, or two things come to mind. First thing, Jesus, throughout His life, had people in His life who He needed at certain point, and they weren't there. But He saw that because He relied on God, when He really needed someone, the Father sent somebody in to help Him in that moment, to get over that moment, because He actually needed someone. But in the other moment, when He, I guess, didn't really need them, He would like to have them, but didn't really need them, you know, He was content being on His own. I thought that, you know, that stood out as you were saying that. The other thing about this particular release, I didn't realize before, Lemuel is speaking about what his mother told him.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if she's speaking, like, she learned along the way, or, you know, it's interesting that all these things that describe a virtuous woman are a woman telling him what to look for in a virtuous woman. I thought, you know, that was interesting about him describing that. So the book, she starts by telling them, you know, don't give your strength to women, don't drink too much wine, judge righteously, and then she starts to talk about finding a virtuous wife, you know, and how important, I guess, that is for him as a king.
Mm-hmm. You know, because then you can actually picture the woman. And so that's great. I'm just a selective extrovert. and so over time, I've learned that just because a woman is older than me doesn't mean that she's wise enough for me to follow after her example.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a tough lesson to learn. The Bible says older women teach. The reason why they had to say that is because, you know, we all stand out on our responsibility, especially if it's not necessarily the child. And he always was Lemuel teaching him, not just another woman, but teaching him about what he should look for in a woman. And we get to see what this woman looks like. And a side note, I get in trouble whenever I get a seminar or something I have to pay for with my own money, not something free, and I have to sit there for more than 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, who's the speaker? I might not remember the name, but who's the speaker? What's their credentials? Oh, what are they speaking to us about? They're speaking to us about marriage? Okay. Well, how long have they been there? How many children do they have? And the person was like, what does it matter? What does it matter? They have a PhD. I'm like, yeah, but if they're on wife number six and they've only been married to her for 4 years, good for them, but you can't teach me anything because I'm going on 16 years. You know what I mean? And so when we picture people in our head, we have to allow the Lord to speak to us about whose expertise are different things. You know, I love a lot of things, teach you a lot of things, because I make mistakes. There are certain places where I don't make a lot of mistakes. And those are things I should pass on to you. You know what I mean? And there are other things where I say, you know what? I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to figure it out myself. Because, you know, let me know if you don't.
Right.
And as people, we have to be honest enough to say that to one another. I don't have that. You know, but I can show you this because I'm good at that. God has blessed me to be good at that. And I have to make a real mistake with that.
But all the people who make mistakes come up and say, you know, I tried that and it didn't work.
Yes, but I don't have to pay you. I don't have to pay you and sit there for a whole weekend if you haven't made it past a 7-year mark in any of it, because you might not have as much knowledge in that area as I do, because I need to pass. You know what I mean? And so, but if you're doing computers, I'm okay. You know what I mean?
A lot of my Facebook friends believe in equality and all that great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Here's the truth. because I'm not gonna do this whole feminist thing. You know, I think all people. You know what I mean? I really do, because you know, you want your wife to say, okay, I contribute financially and I can cook and I can clean and I can, you know,
that's
what I'm saying. That's why I said everyone should be a feminist. So, but this is, so I'm not going to take a stance of a hard feminist stance, more or less. But the saying goes, you know, the man is the head and the woman is the neck. It turns him a certain way. And
unless they have you do this like Joe.
You know, one head needs a football.
But more or less what we're doing is we're saying we need each other, you know, and we affect one another. Affect and eat have effects. We affect each other and have an effect on each other. And that's going back to relationships. Get it right. You know, try to get it right with the whole relationship thing. All the rest of the animals had their meat with them already, because Adam needed to feel what it was like without his mate first in order to have a better appreciation, because God gave, in my opinion, humans a better train of thought. And so having that, and it wasn't a negative voice, but it was still a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And all these, you know, men with wives and all that kind of stuff, it's not just about a woman being who she is and returning to man. It's about where is your heart and where is your head and how firm are you in that? You know, we think about the strongest man. He, you know, his parents were like, hey, can you look over here? Can you look over here? You know, we always hear about just one woman, but you was it him? No. The people burned her in the house, his first wife. They burned her in the house with the father because they were afraid of Samson. And then it's the second one, he kept looking for a particular type of woman. That was his downfall. And so we can all find the type of people we want. You know, so praise God, we don't have as much of a responsibility to make everyone to try to jump in front of someone's face. You know, because if he don't want you, he don't want you. You know, what's that book called? He's just not that into you. He's just not that into you.
Someone not being able to handle the power and the faith.
You know, God bless you so much that people are saying, you know, people are singing songs. You're king. People are singing songs about you. You know, they sing it outside your house, and you're like, oh, yeah, what's my name? You know what I mean? And just being famous turned their heart because they're priceless. And so I don't fully agree that it's always over. Not always, but that women have any more power to change a heart than the strength of your heart is in. If it's not a woman, it's going to be pride. If it's not pride, it's going to be greed. If it's not greed, it's going to be disobedience. So more or less, getting our hearts right with God and strong enough that nothing, you know, tears you from them. You know, because we can think women, and I agree, women are very strong and influential. But even without women, a lot of them had downfall.
Why did God tell this girl, the girl several times in Deuteronomy? When you go into the land, don't marry those who come from this your house.
I didn't disagree that women have influence. I said it, yes, they do. I said that your heart has to be stronger. He's telling people who are still not that keen. You know, they're still not that strong. They're wishy-washy. 1 minute, Lord, we love you. And then they're like, oh, you know, while they're in the middle of their prayer, oh, what's that? You know? And that's how we talk. We laugh at them and we look at them and say, yes, they're doing so well.
The only issue with that is, and all the responsibility in this game is your own.
Yeah.
You can't blame anyone.
Yeah.
But it's undeniable that throughout Scripture, the influence and the power, we are the weaker sex. Let's just put that out there. A woman, most women do not realize the influence and power they have on the man that they have in terms of where he could go or where he does not go. It's not so much that he can't will himself to do it, but the influence you have it's just tremendous. I hear women talk all the time. They want a godly man. Right? They're looking for a spiritual man. But you know what I find more often than not? Then when they get him, they take him for granted. Because now they know that he's trying to live right and do right. You know, he's confined. You know, they can treat before they got
you. No, I don't think it's that.
I'm just being honest and frank. I've been here a few more years than you. I am a total advocate of the power of women. And we say all the time, some of my friends, that any dude that say he runs his house, he the man of his house, he's just lying. I'm just talking about the influence
that
you have. And it started all the way from the beginning. And I think God designed it that way. I mean, when a man messes up, it's his fault. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, the influence you have to spare him, it's just like the bit it's powerful. And when you take advantage, when you take the brother for granted, right? It, whatever weaknesses he has in his heart is magnified.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's all I'm saying.
I remember the character I was looking for. It was Moses, but it was made the point that even though he may have influenced fear, the man, God still holds the man accountable.
Absolutely.
Because Moses, the Bible doesn't really go into detail about it. Just like a snippet in the middle of the story. After he had to go and go to experience, and he's on his way to Egypt, there's a story where God was trying to kill him. And he was only saved when the wife went and circumcised his son.
Yeah.
Likely, and this is what I'm understanding based on the way the story is in the Bible read and then the commentary I read on it. Likely, Zipporah, being from Midianite, did not want a son circumcised. Wouldn't allow Moses to do it. And God said, you know, till you do this, you're not going to do it. And so he didn't go at Zipporah for keeping Moses from doing it. went at Moses because he's ultimately responsible. It wasn't until his life was threatened she decided she would submit to what God was asking to save him.
Let's get Abraham. He sure didn't go tell Sarah that he was taking Isaac out there. They did.
No. He didn't.
Because he wasn't
going to
go out there.
If he had told her, he wasn't going to go out there.
It wasn't
going
to happen.
It wasn't working.
Has to get bigger than a mustard seed. Like if we say, it has to grow. It can move mountains. And according to this description, when a mustard seed actually starts to grow, it is a huge thing. It is clearly taking over wherever it is. Yes. Birds are nesting in it. It's larger than anything else. And I think it shows that, like, some of us are content with having mustard seed faith and not realizing the power of the mustard seed and the fact that when it does grow, it has to grow. It can't be a huge tree. Looking at it,
little.
But you can't say small. It's a huge tree.
That's a big tree.
You can't miss the tree.
Google mustard tree. Check all the images. That's a big tree.
Yeah, when it shows one of them.
Compared to what the seed actually looks like, they just actually use this in the carpet, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A whole bunch of. Go ahead.
And so when you sow your faith, let's say, like in Matthew, there's a lot of sowing going on and dropping seed here and there and all that stuff. But when it's sown in the right soil, it can't help but grow. And when it grows, it's unstoppable. And I think we just don't think, we underestimate the power of the mustard seed. We always stop on, it can move mountains. It can move mountains because once it grows, it's basically moving everything out of its way to make space for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, let's let go of the mustard seed. Let's actually look at the mustard seed germination.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we were supposed to concentrate on biblically. I think that's where Jesus is going with it. I've given you little. For example, you just see me. I did a miracle real quick. Now go plant that and go this way.
Yeah, grow.
Don't stay there kind of thing. I'm giving you little things. Grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Your faith can grow. Your faith can grow.
So if you have mustard seed faith, take a little seed.
Unless you know.
On growing. Like,
you shouldn't have mustard seed faith.
Just don't use that verse as an excuse anymore. Basically, what it boils down to. Unless, well, after you Google the tree.
It's some good words to be, man.
Yeah. And Matthew had a lot, like the parable, you know, just sometimes, especially when it's short, like the mustard seed, that had a lot, you know, because a lot of people spoke about it and everything, but I never just Googled the mustard seed. I like the hidden treasure one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always imagine, and I know this is bad. I was like, this guy just happened. We'll go to somebody else's land. And then he finds something, and instead of saying, hey, man, did you know what your land holds on it? He's just like, no, he goes and he hides it. Everything he owns to get enough money to buy the field. And so in my head, it was kind of trifling because it's just like, it's not yours. You know, it's not yours. You found treasure.
You found a treasure.
You're in my phone to find yours.
No, you found a treasure. Now my head. The treasure was something tangible. But as I grew older, it could be something that's unprocessed. You know, like in my head, when I read this story as a child, I pictured one of those pirate chests that belongs to somebody else. You know what I mean?
I still think it's
and now, no, it's not.
But it can be.
As I grew older, then I thought of it as something like gold. Or coal, or something that might need to be processed, but you see the potential in it, and you know that it's a treasure. It's worth. And the people who own it might know the possibility of it, but not even fathom.
Let me give you an example of what you're saying. In my hometown.
Okay.
They discovered some natural gas, you know, in my hometown, in people's property.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who realized that was natural gas, that we were sitting in Louisiana, was like sitting on a coal mines, natural gas. So going to the parish people, going to buy their property.
Mm-hmm.
And people were selling their rights to the natural gas for next to nothing.
Wow.
I mean, they was offering $250, $250. And they was accepting. But some folks who understood the value,
yeah,
said, no, let's come together collectively and let's hash this thing out so that we can get some serious money out of
it.
Because they understood the value. And
exactly.
So that's exactly the point. Now, the people that ultimately bought the property, I mean, the rights to the gas, they didn't steal it. They paid for it.
They paid for it.
But they found it and understood the value where the people who actually owned it didn't understand.
Exactly, exactly.
But you know what it reminded me of was we all been in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
This field is the church. The treasure is the true relationship. The fact that I don't explore my own field, the fact that I don't inquire about what I have on my property is nobody's fault but my own.
It's true. Exactly.
So the fact that you came in and was like, oh, Matt, you know what? I'm just going to save us some money real quick and take my seat. It ain't no judgment anyway. I've been sitting on it. I've been sitting on it the whole time. And I think the word hidden here is what's kind of throwing people off. It's hidden. One man's garbage is another man's treasure. I mean, so it's hidden as far as its true value, but I don't think it's visually hidden.
Yeah.
Per se. You know what I mean?
I didn't go that deep into it. I just pretended to be hidden because if it was hidden, and then he had to hide it again. Then he believes that they didn't fully know. You know, like I was saying, whatever part of what my kids, I think for me it was he was digging a hole in his tent in the Middle East, and they were trying to get water, and he couldn't get water. And then the priest came in and was like, oh, this is nasty, cookie black stuff. Cover it back up. But it was oil. You know what I mean? He was like, oh, this is cookie black stuff. Oh, just cover it up. This is not water, so we don't want it. And, you know, now, but for him to hide the treasure and to see the value in it enough, sold everything to get it and have treasure. It's like we should know that our relationship with God is that important.
And that's the issue.
It's not
the length you're willing to go because of the bad.
Yeah.
That's the point he's trying to make.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's
I'm gonna go all out. If I have to hide it from somebody, I'm hiding it.
Yeah.
I got to give up whatever I need to do. I understand the value of this that I'm willing to do. I'm selling out.
Exactly, exactly, and that was one of the greatest parables to me because of saying this is a cost of men value, and just because no one else, you know, just because no one else has it, doesn't mean that you shouldn't do everything in your power,
including the hat.
Wow, the kingdom of heaven.
So couple of things stood out to me. I'm going to share one of them, the fourth in passage. I'm reading through Matthew. As I'm listening to you, I'm sure I'm now starting to pay more attention to more of the what we feel as outreach type stuff in Jesus' ministry. One of the things I noticed that none of the things Jesus was doing took any of his resources. And they were activities that came as a result of his other activities. All the stuff that we consider, you know, to be community service type stuff, the healing of the sick, the feeding of the hungry, you know, all the miracles, raising of the dead. He didn't set out and make plans to go and do that. He was on his way to do something. People came up to him with a problem, and he dealt with it as he encountered it. And it was never something that he had resources to take care of. It was always stuff. I think I saw it more clearly when he sent out the 12. When he sent out the 12, he told them, don't take any money, don't take out anything, and do these things. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, you know, raise the dead, you know, all these things that didn't require their own resources. And I thought that, to me, that was significant. When he said the multitude of people were hungry, it wasn't like they had money and they came and, you know, they did it. Right? I thought it was significant because none of these things that they did brought attention. It brought attention to them, but it also revealed that nothing that he was doing was of his own doing. And I thought that was significant. I thought that was significant because we live in a time where most of our ministry, a lot of the ministry that I've experienced as a person ministry leader comes out of things that are stuff that we already have that we can give to other people. And it's not to say we shouldn't help people who are, you know, poor and impoverished or whatnot, but the things that we think about doing are stuff that we have that we try to share as opposed to stuff that the Spirit gives us. And the things that Jesus did that brought in the people, you know, when he healed this person, they were like, wow, he did that thing. Can I get healed? They came to see that. That gave them a sign that he was something special, and it created that opportunity for him to then share. And so, you know, it's processing through that, and how do I now take that realization and then approach the way, you know, I help the people at my church, you know, consider their own activities. You know, that was one of the things that I started to process. So now, how can I take that and use that fact? You know, what significance is that fact? How does it impact the way we then start the plan for our people? And that was one of the thoughts that I have. I'm interested to hear what you guys think.
I have never really processed that to that extent. That's an excellent thought, something I'm going to look into. You know, I'm contextual when it comes to Jesus. His outreach was really in reach. Okay.
That was the other thing.
And that's the part we missed. Most of the time we talk about, you know, reaching out. Jesus was actually reaching in. I mean, even when folks would show up and wanted something, he said, well, we're not dealing with you right now. But he did that to point out to these other folks what they really should be about. But most of his outreach was in reach because they were out themselves. One of the biggest problems I think we have in the church, in our outreach, is that we haven't been reached in. And that doesn't mean we spend all our time focusing on that, but we need to understand that we have no power of our own. And we are just trying to do activities when we're trying to bring it. Because ultimately, the whole idea of outreach is to bring souls in, not to feed folks, not to clothe folks, but to save folks. Those are just mechanisms, just like healing was, to bring folks to other. Jesus said, well, you know, I'm going to heal you but I want, so you can understand that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. That's what it's really all about. We have a social network after the day, folks hungry. We have places we can send them to get help. They didn't have Social Security back then. So any material stuff we do is a means to an end, not an end in and of itself.
Just as you say that, when God set up the Jewish nation, he built into the law the social mechanism.
Yes.
So Jesus didn't have to come to do those things. And like I'm reading Matthew 10 here. He says he's sending out the 12. Now I also checked that when he sent out the 72, he gave the same doctor, but most similar doctors, right? So I'm going to, he says, verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5. I'm starting. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, don't go into the Gentiles, nor enter the city of Samaria, but rather go to the lost sheep. Really from the house of Israel. All right, I'm going to skip over that only because in the context, he was starting in and eventually he's not going to go off. Because later on, he tells them, start in Jerusalem, then go to Judea, then go to Samaria, then the end of it. So I'm not saying that this is necessarily part of it, but the next part. As you go, preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. So the real emphasis was the message of the kingdom. But to facilitate that, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in the money belt. Don't take any bag for your journey, nor to Phoenix, nor sandals, nor staff, or who will the community of the school. Now, I'm saying that to say the thing that he was told to do for the people was stuff that they weren't qualified or equipped to do in their own strength. None of them were doctors.
He wasn't a part of the 12.
Who came later on? None of them were doctors. None of them were priests or spiritual men who could, you know, raise the dead and cast out demons. None of them were exorcists. You know, those things that they did for people that brought the people in was stuff that they didn't have power to do. It wasn't stuff that they were equipped to do. They didn't have resources on their own where they could just get up and say, let's go do this. And those were the things he was sent out to teach. Those are the miracles that Jesus did. And he did those things as he was going out to teach. When he went to the synagogue, when he was out trying to be alone because John the Baptist died, when people, he was, the woman who got healed with the issue of blood was healed as he was going to help somebody who came up to him while he was on his way somewhere else. You know, it was by the way that he did these things. However, we now start to plan to go do these things as opposed to doing the first part, which is the preaching and the teaching and the messaging that the kingdom of God is at
hand. A lot of that, I think, it's because of the mindset we have that, you know, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. So we don't really put the real importance on the word. You know, if a person, quote unquote, teaches Sabbath school, and that's all they do, they say, well, what else you? Heard people say, what else you doing in the church? Well, what can be more important than teaching the word of God? But if you're in community service, you out feeding people that week, they throw, they give you plaques. Am I right? But if we look at scripture, he said the kingdom of God is at you. Don't go here and go there, because the kingdom of God is in you. It's a spiritual issue. I deal with all this other stuff because I need to get your attention. And until I heal that, get that, you get clear vision, you're not going to see what I got for you. And that's the part we miss. We have a lot of activities in the church. In fact, we're just so busy these days that we don't have time. We have a church full of Martha. Right? But if a mayor shows up and says, well, I'm not going out and pass our track today, I'm going to go spend time in the Word. We say, what do you mean? You need to be working for the Lord. Well, I'm so busy working for the Lord, I don't have time for it. And so we want to know why we are powerless. I'm speaking for myself. Why we are powerless in our evangelistic effort. It's because we have no power.
The other thing I noticed is that in Jesus' ministry, he left where he was to come and be intentional. He was intentional about the people he identified. And then he lived among them and taught the word as he lived among them. The 12 that he chose, like, I'm focusing on these guys, giving these guys all my attention. And I'm not just teaching them the word, but I'm living with them. So I'm eating at their house and I'm interacting and being a part of the lives of these. He couldn't disciple 300 people because he couldn't give them the kind of attention that is involved in discipleship in an ongoing, sustainable kind of way. He taught crowds when they came around, but he was intentional about this group. And I thought that was also significant for, you know, my role as personal ministry in helping the ministry that just possibly see the importance of, you know, identifying a people group that they can live among in order to be able to disciple, that sharing the word and that showing, being that witness to the impact of submitting my authority to him and what the impact is having on my life. And that was it. He came on to demonstrate through his living and through his teaching the impact of being yes, not my will and how that plays out in the back.
Oh, I often find myself being very judgmental. Well, you know, you have somebody in church and they claim they're doing the will of God. But you know they're not good for that position. You know that it's not their strength. They don't belong to you. They don't belong in finance. I don't know where they belong. But they right here. This is not your position. This story leads me to believe that my talents, per se, are not necessarily important. It's more the power of God. But I know that this person does not belong in that position. I know you know we all. They probably know themselves. But how do you, because here, if you think about it, all these men, while they weren't priests and scribes, but they had a commission. Well, I was a fisherman, or I was a different. You never hear the story of Jesus saying, you know what, you should go be a lawyer for that guy right there. That's what you do for a living. Let's put that into practice. You never hear that. He's always sending to do stuff that has nothing to do with their background. So how do you justify that? In church, that person does not belong.
Well, here's the challenge with that. It assumes that our current system of viewing spiritual gifts as pre-existing talent is the right way to go. That's the challenge with that idea, because it pre-assumes that. We have to then take a step back and go on with that. Okay. What is a spiritual gift? What is a talent? And are we staffing for ministry in our current faith based on talent or spiritual gift? And is that even the way the Bible suggests we should go? And I know a whole hornet's nest that I don't know that we have time to deal with it.
We don't.
We don't agree.
Yeah, we don't. Because there's a lot of different scenarios to your story. I would love to be a choir.
But you are not called to such.
But I love it. And you know, there have been a couple of people who've been very honest with me. You know, my husband was.
Enough glimpse of evidence that there are certain things that you He didn't let everybody work on the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. Everybody that wanted to be a part of the crew could be on the crew.
No,
no one is going to. When I joined the Air Force, we had to take an aptitude test. Mm-hmm. Mechanical, general, administrative, and elect. 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 100, I got 15 on the mechanical. I mean, 85, I got wrong. Okay. I am not mechanically gifted. And it has been shown over time, plus the aptitude gap. So don't ask me to do anything. I tell my wife, she wanted a, you know, somebody to work on the house, she should have married one of them guys. Not me. But I have other, right, but I have other gifts. The problem with us is that we won't accept the role that God gives us. We want to be something else. If I'm an ear, I want to be a mouth. If I'm a feet, I want to be the eye. And the body get all jacked up when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody operates the way they should operate, at peak optimum performance, the body is complete and whole and functional.
Yeah.
There's the other thing that comes to the guys, and then train them for what comes up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then on top of the training, you give them additional power to do some other.
Absolutely. He picks feet to walk, and he trains them how to walk.
No. I'm saying, like, with his disciples.
No, I'm with you. But I'm using the body analogy. Right? When you teaching Julian how to walk, you don't tell him to get out on your hand and kick your legs in the air. You train him how to use his feet. Because that's what was designed for him to walk. Same principle I'm talking about.
And what's really funny, because what Sharice was saying, she was just like, there's some people who just feel like, no, I can't get that. When we go to chapter 13:53, and it's saying, well, Jesus was rejected as a nurse. And so people are just like, wait, what's that little Jesus? What is little Jesus?
So actually, you're saying that your effectiveness is not necessarily your ability to do something not always accepted by.
Exactly.
By the folks that you've been sent to serve.
Exactly. And so those people are just like, no. He's not that person.
Oh, he didn't even go up.
Yeah. Exactly. Then why 7 years later are you confused
That's why you're not married in your relationship with her.
Go back, go. Better. You can say, why 7 years later is my marriage failing? Ma'am. 7 years ago, my man told you didn't want to get married. You happen to get married now, and we're not sure what happened. You know, like,
that's okay. When people say who they are, people listen.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, a lot of us have hope, but we have to have hope and see evidence first when it comes to people. Our hope should not be in men. Our hope should be for God to do what he needs to do in men, you know? So I need to hope that God will touch the heart of my dad so that he becomes a God-fearing man. But not say, oh, he's a God-fearing man, so I'm going to lend him the $800 that he asked for and hope that he gives it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's two different hopes, and one of them is wrong. And that's where we go wrong. You know, it's more of saying you're the father, but you stay in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I have
family members who, you know, they smoke. Don't do what I do. Do
what I say.
And I'm like, you don't smoke. You're stuck. And you're telling me, don't get stuck. Don't look at me and say, oh, I want to do that because I'm stuck and I don't even know how to get out of it because I am stuck, you know? And if we do listen, you know, so it's not just say and it's not just do, it's say and do. And we need to be smart enough and in tune enough with the Lord to be able to decipher the difference in how we grow in life. Because I might not be able to listen to what he does work that. Excuse me. Just like that with the parable where the son whose father said, go do this, and he said, no, I'm not gonna do it. But he did it, and the other one was like, yeah, I'll do it, but he didn't do it. You know, it's like, which one was better? It's like, he shouldn't have said that. But he did it. And he's like, he should have did it. Because he said he would, you know? And so we do have to be able to. And the truth is, thinking is actually fun. God gave us a brain. 3 years of thinking is actually fun. If we think of it that way, you know?
Many of us would be happy just to be programmed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they complain. Truth. And they complain that we don't have a choice.
But in that contextually, Jesus was getting at these folks trying to with their ritual cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making a big fuss about his disciples eating without washing their hands or whatever issue that was external.
Yeah.
He was trying to point out to them, but out of the abundance of the heart and the mouth speaking. So whatever comes up is what's in your heart. And that's what defiles you.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I've said sometimes, you know, we have a hierarchy in our church of holiness. You know, the vegans are holier than the veggies, the those folks are holier than the clean meat eater.
Right.
And the clean meat eater are holier than the unclean meat. That's our hierarchy of holiness in our church. You know that.
Right? Is it really?
Yeah. But what I said to folks, I said, we won't eat.
Is that true?
I'm being facetious, but if you go around the church,
the reason they
have a higher standard of holiness than everybody, you know.
And some people believe that's true.
And, but what I said, folks, I say you won't eat the chicken, you won't eat the cow, but you'll eat the pig.
Mm-hmm.
We have no problem zapping those folks, but we'll make a big issue about what's on the plate. And Jesus is trying to say that's not the issue. We look good on the outside, but what's on the inside is the problem.
That's right.
We're gonna close in a little bit. I just have one point of that Rusty said I must hear. Right? Same today, March 15th. In fact, 2 Peter 2:25. I'm reading it, and it says, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Well, most times I just skip over and read it next. This time I lingered a little bit on worship. Because I was like, well, what does that mean that she did? Because I find that the word worship has been hijacked by what we do in church all the year. And I think of worship, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And so I didn't have a full understanding of what that means. And I went and I looked it up. And it means, what it means. It means to fall upon one knee and touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence. In the New Testament, by kneeling or prostration to do homage or obeisance, whether to express respect or make supplication. I don't know what obeisance means. I looked that up as well. Obeisance means a movement of the body made in token of respect or submission. You know what that submission is? Keep up time. Yes, and then it goes on to say the next meaning of the word obeisance is acknowledgement of another's superiority or importance. So,
did that make you mad?
No, it made me excited because the Lordship thing is stalking me. And I went and I started looking up where this Lordship thing is found several times in the Bible. One of the places it's used is when John speaks about worshiping in spirit and in truth. The same word that's used for worship here, the same word is used there. And I was reading up this one commentary about it, and he said he could literally take the word submission and replace worship with submission, and would mean the exact same thing, based on the Greek word that was used. In English, worship has so many meanings that, you know, even though one of the meanings is submission and respect for authority, or submission to an authority, it's not the only meaning of the word worship, but it is the meaning of the word that was originally used here. And I just thought that was so profound that the concept of worship is another place that's used as fear, God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who is heaven and earth. She and just message, you know, and we have to believe is there. It changes the dynamic of what it means to now worship God, since the past word in Hebrew means the same thing. I have to look up that. So when God says, thou shalt not worship any gods, or have no other gods before me, I shall not bow down to them or worship them, he's really saying you shouldn't submit to any other authority. So that this lordship theme is bigger and broader than I thought, and it is even a part of what we understand worship to mean. And if we limit our definition of worship to what we do in church, we miss this important teaching that God is telling us about what it means to worship God. What we do in church is praise, and it may be an act of worship in that it's one way we show homage, but it itself is not worship.
Part of the package.
It's even a small part, because you can worship God without ever necessarily doing what we do in church. And so I just wanted to highlight that in the same way we feel passionate about the word marriage being hijacked, we should probably feel just as passionate about the hijacking of the word worship, because that undermines all that God is trying to tell us about what he wants from us.
One.
Yes, you can ask a question in about 5 minutes, Daniel. Yes, we can get to Isaiah, but we didn't. Where we will get there. So we'll get there, Daniel. Hold on.
My second point was, I remember having a conversation. I love the king, the Pharaoh, Egypt.
If I could go back in history, I'd be in the palace as an Egyptian.
Oh, sorry. Daniel, just write whatever question or thought you have, because I don't think anybody here tonight has the thing in idea that we want to get to. So if you have something, share it with us so that we can include it.
Why is Daniel on the couch?
Good question.
I think worship was easier back then, now that I've watched Thursday Night Worship. Because if you think about the way the culture was set up back then, you pick a side and you stick to that side. Like, whether it's army, whether it's religion, like, they get offended if you married the person next. Like, for example, the Egyptians, their bloodline had to be pure, which is why they marry their siblings in order for you to take over. And you want to marry somebody with different blessings from around, but that's crossing the line. And I think the word worship was so often used in the Bible because for them it was pick a side. Pick a side. We all know that we all pick sides here, folks. You in the middle, you're just weird. You know, or the fact that you're on that side, I'm sorry that y'all are losing. I think it's our culture, though. We have so many different, we don't have to pick sides. We can just not say anything. So we've never really understood the true meaning of worship and what it means to the lordship piece of it, the submission piece of it. Because we weren't raised to pick a side like they were back then, where it was like, your allegiance, I know from the minute I see you where your allegiance lies. Whether or not that's to your benefit today depends on how the day went. So, like, nowadays, you say we're seeing marriage, we're starting to pick a side with the world. But that's new. Back then, that was just regular. No problem with it. Pick it, it is what it is. If I die for it, that's what it is. They're willing to die for whatever side they chose. And I think that's one thing we can learn from these Eastern and older cultures. Whatever side you're on, but die for it. Whether it's the good side or the bad side, ride or die for it. I think that's why God really, now that I think about it, he's like us in the middle. Ride for your side and call it the best.
Mm-hmm. Ride for your side. If you're on the wrong side, but you have to depart from the right place in terms of God, he'll correct you. He'll be like, oh, sinner.
Let me get on the other side. But this whole let me see how this plays out.
Yeah, let me find New Jersey. You know, this one is.
Yeah, nobody watched how the war played out. I'm gonna see which thing I'm gonna put on to that. Nah, I'm on this side. I'm on this side. That's just what it is, and that's that. You know, so you don't understand.
I just wanna leave one thing that I found.
Please focus
on. Yeah, but the usage of the word proskuneo in the New Testament primarily describes the attitude of a person as he approaches a superior being with emphasis on mentally or verbally showing his submission to the word that stands to his worship. Proskuneo expresses one's confidence and dependence on God when approaching him in prayer. An urgent plea might be accompanied by kneeling tears or frustration, but any physical act accompanying proskuneo is secondary. All of God's messengers show submission to him, as do the 24 elders. We quoted the text of Revelation 4:10. Every human also has the privilege of showing submission to God if he so chooses. The adversary, the devil, told Jesus he would give him all the kingdoms in the world if he would fall down and show submission to him. Jesus answered him with two principles of truth in Matthew 4 and Luke 4:8. You are to show submission, proskuneo, to your master God, and to him only will you offer godly service, which is another word of betrayal. Neither the adversary nor his evil spirits show submission to God. Proskuneo bears relationship to the word which describes the most important decision a human makes in his lifetime, to repent. That is, change himself, metaneo, from serving his own desires to yielding to God's desires for his life. Worship is a religious word having meanings which are broad in scope. In English, its uses and meanings differ from that of proskuneo. For example, worship can mean honor and respect given to a human or a human title such as a worshipful master. Proskuneo is always a personal attitude of submission to God and not a corporate activity.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that to be extremely profound, and I just had to say that tonight. Daniel, we will answer your question in the apple group, but you're going to have to be a little bit more descriptive when you say, is Israel the apple of God's eye or not? I don't necessarily understand what that means, and I'm going to look for clarity, but like, we we're going to wrap up here, and then we're going to speak to some of us after. But we'll see you at corporate. So that means that takeaways from that. This is actually our last night of our fifth year.
Last night of our first year.
Fifth year.
So next time is our anniversary.
Next anniversary.
So we won't be here. We got to go celebrate like that.
But no, I think when next week when Karen comes, I really wanted to get from you guys, you know, a feel for how the first year going in terms of.
I can't give you that.
I know you can't. That's what I was saying. I was thinking until Karen comes back, so I can get a feel. But I would like to see if people get from tonight. What do you think we'll from tonight? Honestly,
we're taking always from next conversation. What I'm choosing to voice, because I think we have a lot of takeaways, is that women are important. Even though I don't, you know, agree that one, that is more important than I think that God loves us both and has a sin, has certain goals and responsibilities that, you know, something is harsh.
I think I need to take my name a little bit down a little bit. Simply because, like, not even just Psalm 30, but even in Matthew, a lot of these examples that were given were that these women had faith. You know, Jesus called them out and was like, "You see that woman right there? You see that woman right there?" You know, like, we pray, I want to be a woman of God, but to understand the power that lies behind that, to understand the fact that you are kind of like that net that's fine. I think it does a little deeper today as the only single person on the show. Anybody else on the show? Kendrick, look at you. I'm joking. Single folk out there, take your role a little more seriously. Who knows, you ever feel it? But at the end of the day, be ready to take your place. And that's really what's most important.
My original thought before I got here was I was going to focus on the missions I saw in Isaiah, but in light of what we discussed, male and female created people. We are better collectively representing all that God is than we are individuals. And the mere fact that we are different is our strength,
yeah,
and not our detriment.
Yeah.
I have to process through so many things, but I remember there was something one of you said was literally, I think it was really good. Like, oh wow, I thought about that before. But I'm trying to remember Daniel, but I can't leave it out. But the other thing that I did remember was the point that Dad made about doing whatever it takes because I appreciate the value. Because I appreciate the value of what it is. Because I appreciate the value of the demonstration of his love. The sacrifice for me, just for me. I'm willing to do anything he asks, including submit myself to him. But yes, not my will, but I will be done. And I'm not sure if that we necessarily value that all the time, or understand the value of it, which is why we do not be doing sell all the time, whatever, give up whatever, quit whatever, stop seeing whatever, buy the field. Well, the other thing, I never saw it. That was my other
thing. Maybe like a mustard tree.
Wow.
It was a huge tree.
And what it was, what it become, that illustration now makes sense. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was
mm-hmm. You know, that was
enlightening. And I found it helpful on both sides. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you got that, you're in good shape. But if you got that, just look at the possibilities.
Yeah.
I know we haven't forgotten you. You're taking us all. We know that we're still not. We can't do it in 5 minutes. No, he said he was trying to reference Isaiah 27, verse 15 of 9, and get some clarity on that, but we have to spend a little time talking. I want to ask that tomorrow or whatever it is to get the church. Let's start there. So let's start there tomorrow. Okay. And you give me a little bit more clarity on the questions, like, you know, so we can talk more about it. This question was, are we going to get to Isaiah tonight? Israel, the apple of God's eye, the mountain. Referencing the way God responds to them in Isaiah 27, verses, a verse in Amos 9. But we would need to study both. Amos 9 and Isaiah 27, we're going to pick up with that tomorrow at the church. That restoration presented in the email, we talk about that today. But, yeah. With that, we're going to pray. Thanks for God's blessing for allowing us to keep the year. In terms of not sitting on the couch, but your experience with God as we did this for a year. Looking forward to that next week.
Next week?
2 weeks. The next time we meet.
The next time we meet, we're not going to just say that we're going to talk about what our experience
is. That's what I'm hoping we can do. And then if anything comes up, we'll do it. That's what I would like. But this is a team effort. We can talk about it. Continue to link up with us. Continue to read with us. Also share in whatever you're reading. You know, we want to have you be a part of the conversation as well. Giving us the boost. I see you next time. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the spirit that shows us things that you like us. Through the word, you need to give us permission of heart that you all know our every time, all the time. To be open, hear what we're doing, be honest with what we see when you reveal it to us, and desire to be more like you by doing what we do. To get everyone on the couch, we need to help exceed a little bit to go into the big tree.
Amen. Said that even those on the couch, you know that's not a lesson.
Yeah.
What you'll have when you're on the couch, who you'll have a conversation with you on the couch.
With you.
Now you're with me. That's a lie.
I'm sitting on the chair.
Yeah, you can.
Oh.
Yeah, you can. So next time.
Be the only person out there who's had this thought.
Yeah.
there's not that many different systems. Not that many.
There are a lot of different religions, but the funny thing about it is the different sects different. So
you talk about different groups of different Christian groups?
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the Catholic Bible versus the Christian Bible. There's another Bible out there that includes another book. I guess I'm watching these shows. So they break down all these religions. I'm like, well, I want your book. The verses don't add or take away. So wait, hold on, let me out this way when y'all added.
That particular verse was for that particular book, not for the whole Bible.
Hmm. I dated a guy in college. We're off the line, right?
Yeah.
Never.
What?
We're off the line?
Yeah.
you stopped recording?
No.
You stopped recording?
Yeah. See? And there's this guy up in high school. And he was such a great. Oh, this is crazy. I was like, you know, we can start having lives with it. I said, but let's start clean slate. I said, because there's no such thing as a personal religion. I said, so if we decide to just follow the Bible, we're both Christians, we're both. And he said, yes, God. We brought up a Bible. And he opened the Bible. Wherever we started, it did not coincide. Wherever we started, it, and how we were doing that. Brooklyn Botanic Garden. It's a beautiful place in the country. So, we opened up and then we opened up our floor at home. We closed the Bible. He was like, our children will be so messed up for me. He was like, I'm Catholic. I was born Catholic. I was by Catholic. And you're the.
The one for the
fix?
The lady?
I don't know. When?
Well, who is this now?
You know me, yeah. I don't know if I might be out there.
Oh, you know what? It is. Yeah, it is.
I think
last time
he was asking
for it. I was saying, give me a
song.
Both of them.
First told me that he was a prominent parent's
on the way to mom.
Yeah, this relationship is not going past faithful. And I think the fact that we were both the